Bienvenue and welcome to Akeem's Dream Show. My name is Akeem the Dream, also known as Brown Sugar Supreme, also known as The Dark Knight Batman. I'm Batman. This show is a variety show because I had a lot of ideas growing up and wrote them down, and my curiosity is insatiable. And you'll notice that I have a lot of random ideas and subjects, but I think that's what makes it fun. Variety is the spice of life, and I like to keep it spicy, and you will find that out very quickly. Remember, folks, never grow old with no stories to tell. And it's finally time to spice things up. Let's go.
Check this out.
Breathe in. Breathe out. Walk with me, tell me a story. Let it all out.
Now, the moment I've been waiting for this whole trip is going to the southern part of Thailand. Getting some beaches in, baby, because so far we've been in cities, right? Tokyo, Osaka, Thailand, Hanoi. We didn't really go into Hanoi, but you know what I'm saying? It's just city, city, city. We need to go into the jungle, baby. We need to go into the islands. We need those white sand beaches and the cheeseburger in paradise. All right, so we go south, hop on a night bus with a toilet that flushes by you filling it with a bucket of water. We're going into the jungle, Asia. So Mitch, Mike, and I hop onto a bus. We go south, and to go from Bangkok to where we were headed, which is Koh Samui, it's like a 12-hour bus ride. So we get on at 6 o'clock. We get there at like 8 o'clock in the morning. It's a bit of a bumpy ride, but it's not bad. You know, it's a nice cab. It's a nice carriage, and the guy next to me slept in my nape. This happens to me sometimes when I travel. When I go on these long flights or bus rides or whatever, people will just end up sleeping on me, and I'll tell them up front. I'm like, listen, bro. I have no problems if you end up sleeping on my shoulder. You know, I'm pretty broad, so you can sort yourself out. But we end up going south, and we get to Suri Thani, which is like this port town on the south part of the peninsula or the Bay of Thailand. And we get a ferry to Koh Samui, and we get a beautiful villa. Like, I'm talking James Bond villain, or maybe James Bond when he's like trying to seek out the villain. This villa with this infinity pool is beautiful. I couldn't believe it. The only thing was, it was up in the hills. Like, we had to go up this freaking road that was probably a 90 degree, not joking you, like, no, not 90, like maybe 70 or 60 or 50 to 45 degree angle road. And actually some Uber drivers or some Grab drivers would know where our house was and just would refuse to drive me up there because like my car can't make it up that road. So we're way up in the mountains, but from this infinity pool you could see the whole bay. And it was sick. So Koh Samui is this bigger island. There's like three islands in the Bay of Thailand that are really cool. Koh Samui, Koh Phangan, and then Koh Tao. So they get smaller in sequence. So Koh Samui is the bigger island. Koh Phangan is the smaller island. And then Koh Tao is like the smallest island. They're all kind of cool. They got their kind of vibe to it. But the reason we went to Koh Samui to start was because Mike was interested in going to a fight camp for Muay Thai. So we ended up going and signing up. It's kind of a cool place. It's a different vibe. Right away, you recognize this is the part of Thailand where people come to relax and chill. And you see a lot of old British dudes with like Thai girlfriends. There's a million more massage parlor. Kapum ka. Kapum ka. Happy, happy. Hey, handsome man. Bro, some of the streets in these town, this town called Lamai, it's like a really cool jungle beach town. And is known for essentially just partying. This is where you come to party, party, party. But there's parts of Koh Samui which are a little bit more chill. We were just in Lamai, so it was fun. It was nice. We were there for actually quite a while. We were there for a whole week, I think. Yeah, we got there on like Monday. We left on Sunday, or the following Monday. Either way, we stayed in this villa for 3 days, which was cool. We went to an actual hotel after that for two or three more days. But this Muay Thai class. So here's Muay Thai, all right? So I didn't know much about Muay Thai before I got to Thailand. And Thailand is the mecca of Muay Thai, right? Mike was explaining to me that the way that it works with Muay Thai in Thailand is Bangkok is kind of the central hub. So you're going to see all different kinds of styles. Up in the north, it's more like rigid and controlled. Apparently, this is just his theory, apparently. Up in the north, Muay Thai is like more rigid, more disciplined, more controlled. But in the south, because it's more of that surfer, more relaxed vibe, they're kind of more flowy. And then Bangkok's like a hybrid. You're going to get the flowy and the more rigid. But we were in the islands, so we were kind of with these tropical Thai guys who were kind of more laid back and chilling and flowing. And it was more relaxed. But in these Thai gyms, like we were at the Lamai Muay Thai fight camp. and they have classes at like 7 a.m. and then 5 p.m. and it's just packed with like 30 or 40 people, and you're just doing, going through different combos, you're training different strikes, and then you do some sparring. Everybody in these classes are from around the world. So this is like a world-renowned thing where like young men from across the globe come to Thailand to fight and train Muay Thai. And Lamai is famous because of this kind of flowy style. And actually one of the champions, John Haggerty, trains out of this gym at the Lamai Muay Thai fight camp. So it's world-renowned actually as being one of the best training camps for people who are looking to skill up and, you know, level up on their Muay Thai skills. So I did the first 7 a.m. class and was fine. Sparring was pretty relatively low key. A lot of Dutch guys in there, man. These Dutch guys are huge, man. 6'4", 6'5". And apparently the Netherlands has the on average highest height per man compared to any other country in the world. Like the average man there is 6'1". These guys in this Muay Thai camp were like 6'4", 6'5". Massive dudes, massive, massive dudes. I'm an all right boxer. I learned how to kick in this class though. And the thing is, when your hips are tight and you don't realize your hips are tight, kicking for an hour straight, it hurts to sit down. I couldn't laugh for 2 or 3 days straight because I threw so many kicks that my glutes were just spasming. So what we did was we'd go to this fight camp, and right across the street, there's a really cool restaurant. And we went there for dinner and lunch like a million times, but we get a burger. This was our day. Go to fight camp, go get a burger, and then we go to the massage, and not the happy, happy massage, the actual real massage. So they're really smart. They have these like real massage parlors next to the Muay Thai fight camp. So you do this fight, you fight all day, or you fight for an hour, and then all of a sudden you're in this massage, and they have a Muay Thai massage. Me and Mike went at the same time. I've never heard so many grown men cry and moan out loud in pain, because these ladies, they know what they're doing. Like, I haven't had such an intense massage in my entire life for like whatever it was, $20, $15. They went into every muscle, man. They it's like they knew the human anatomy better than a third year med student. They were just in the crevices, digging out all those cramps. And it's so funny. Every time they made us groan and moan, they'd be laughing their ass off. They'd be like, meow, meow. I'm not sure what meow, meow means in Thai, but it was probably a way to make fun of us. We're having a blast in there, right? Just going back and forth. You see all these, like I was saying, these old British guys walking around looking for love. There's this whole sub-industry, sub-genre where guys go there with prearranged relationships where they go and then the Thai girls will just like entertain them as boyfriends or whatever. Maybe they're on their second or third divorce or their kids moved out and they left Britain or wherever they're from. And now they live in Thailand. Bro, some of these guys look like raisins. Like you can tell they've been in the sun for months and months and months. They probably don't even put on sunscreen anymore. They got like 5 years left. They're like, fuck it, I'm just going to live my life. But they're shriveled up to complete raisin mode. You walk around Lamai, you see things like these fish cleaning tanks, these little minnows like clean the dirt off people's feet. Probably disgusting, but I did a private Muay Thai class, so I learned how to fight. It was so funny. This little guy, Thai guy, and when I mean little, I mean compared to me, he's little, but he's like 5'3" or something, maybe 110 pounds soaking wet, but I guarantee you he could kick your ass. Like these guys are highly trained, like private black ops specialists. Like they can just kill, they could probably hurt you pretty bad because they got so much technicality and force. And like I said before, with the motorbikes in Bangkok, like these people in Asia, a lot of them, they just have no fear. Like if it's my time to go, it's my time to go, right? They don't really have a sense of manifest destiny like that. They're not worried about tomorrow. They're just gonna kick your ass right now. You know, it was so funny. Like I'd be messing up a kick or messing up a punch, he'd be like, every time I did something bad, he'd be like, hey. And then every time I did something good, he'd be like, ah, nice. And then he'd make me do push-ups and stuff. It was great. I learned just some basic striking, basic footwork, good stuff. Like, you know, it's better to have it and not need it than need it and not have it. That's why I got a gun license. That's why I'm learning how to fight a little bit. I don't want to ever have to use these things, but my God, if the push comes to shove and the shit hits the fan, you got to be ready, baby. You got to stay ready, as they say in Compton. So we're doing all this, and then we're gearing up for the full moon party. So in Koh Phangan, that's the middle island between Koh Tao and Koh Samui, they have this full moon party, which is exactly what it sounds like. There's a beach on the southern part of Koh Phangan. I forget what the beach is called, but this is where 30,000 people show up from around the world and party their asses off. I've never seen anything like it. We get to the island of Koh Phangan on a ferry and people are starting to load in. there's people getting painted up on the way to the beach with like all these like different signs and logos. I got a Batman logo. Mike got a mushroom, I think. I think Mitch got some stuff as well. And then, you know, we're just getting loaded up, right? Walk in and it's blocked off. There's literally like thousands of people walking at the same time. You get your wristband. This whole beach is just lined with these party bars. Kind of like Koh San Road, but like on a beach. And every beach, every restaurant is playing their own kind of music, like a lot of drum and bass, hip hop, top 40, whatever. And as the night goes on, you're just kind of partying. And first we did a walk. We walked from one side of the beach to the other, and you just see people are starting to fill in. Like when we first got there, it wasn't super crazy, but as the night went on, holy shit. This place blew my mind. Like there's people blowing, like there's flamethrowers, there's fire rope jumping, there's fire spinners with people getting their darts ripped, people just drinking, a lot of boozing, smoking, just degenerate behavior, right? But I was here for it. I love dancing. I love to just get out there and start grooving and whatever, right? I didn't really have a goal for the night. I was just like, I'm just going to see how long I can last. But the thing is, when you're dancing for 4 or 5 hours straight, you just start, your knees start to crank a little bit, especially when you're in your 30s like me. So at around midnight, we decided to pack it in. But before we did, we ran into these guys from Lloyd Minster. And it was the first Albertans, I think, I met on the whole trip. And you know the whole Nelson Mandela quote when he's like, when you talk to people in a language they know, you're talking to their head. When you're talking to them in your home language, you're talking to their heart. These Albertan guys were talking to us the way we talk, like A and fucking Giver and wish he had fucking beers, eh? Like they were talking like Albertans. So these two guys, one guy's from Edmonton, one guy's from Lloyd. And we met them on the beach, man. They were so funny, man. Their dance moves, the one guy pretended to be a dog. And I mean, the ground is filthy, right? Like piss and beer cans and just sweat, ripped darts. This guy just did not give a fuck. He was there to party. And it was just so funny being around those guys. They were hilarious. They reminded me of the Trailer Park Boys kind of energy. And then towards the end of the night, just kind of exhausted. Like this is a place where you have to pay 20 baht to take a piss. I don't like to be around big environments like that after a certain point, because when men get sloppy drunk, like especially thousands of them, it just becomes like a powder keg. It only takes one fucking idiot to set one guy off, and then they're all drunk and everyone's trying to be tough. And then you just have a problem on your hands, right? Because you have a mob. And that could easily turn into a riot. Thankfully, I don't think it did that night and there was no issues. But when I start noticing that, I'm like, guys, it's time to leave. So we headed for the port. We had to like, we got rid of our band. So we had to like freaking bribe the guy 1,000 baht to get a ride back. But it was a fun night, man. It was a great time. Just laughing our asses off and dancing, right? And you just see a million different people. Some people really get into it with the outfits. It's like any other music festival you've been to, but just drunk in debauchery. You turn around, there's like literally 50 guys lined up on the beach taking a piss into the ocean. It's just a different kind of thing, man. Maybe if I was 24, I would have stayed all night, but midnight was good enough for me. We got there like 7. We left at midnight. 5-6 hours, that's good enough. I can't talk about Koh Samui without talking about the scooters. So this is the first place on the whole trip that I actually rented a scooter. Mitch and Mike rented a scooter when we were at the villa, and I waited until we got to the new hotel. But these scooters and driving around in Thailand is scary at first, because these main roads, they just rip, right? It'd be like getting your license for the first time here. You're scared to drive around because people are just like normal, used to driving, and you're not. So when Mike and Mitch got their scooters, Mitch actually kind of like, he wiped out a bit, like nothing bad happened, but it was just hard to adjust to the speed and the torque of the bike, right? You have 50, 100, 150 cc's, depending on how much juice you got, and trying to adjust to that traffic, and they drive on the left side of the road, it could be a disaster, right? I remember driving my scooter for the first time being a little bit nervous, like, holy shit, like this thing has got some pep to it. Like she rips, right? And it just took a while. So I took a few days just to drive around. I drove to the north part of Koh Samui, checked out a few beaches, drove through a rainstorm. It was rainy. This is the only part of the trip where I remember being a little bit rainy. It was fun just ripping around, going to the grocery store, feeling like a local. On the way back, on the first day I drove around, I went to the, I just saw a cannabis store. I'm like, you know what? I just like to take the edge off tonight and just chill, hang out by myself. And met this British guy. I went into the cannabis store, and I don't really smoke weed. I maybe smoke weed like 2 or 3 times a year, maybe, if that, maybe once, twice. It's not like my thing to do. I don't really do it. But I was like, you know what? If there was a time and a place, this is the time, this is the place. especially on the beach. I've never done it on the beach. And something about grounding and having that ocean spray in your face, I like that idea. So anyways, I go to the cannabis store. I see this lady who was running out of money, and I bought her some cannabis. And then, you know how the universe works is, you help somebody out and you have that like helpful spirit, someone's going to help you out. And not maybe right away, but this is how it worked. This British guy walks in. He sees that I don't know what to get. Turns out he runs a cannabis store in England. So he's like giving me the lowdown on like how to smell things, what to look for and all this stuff. We go 50-50 on this pungent hybrid, not an indica or a sativa, like a hybrid. Tells me what to get and he rolls it for me right there. I take it to the beach, rip it, and I'm just listening to music and podcasts and just chilling. I walked the whole beach line. It took me like maybe a half hour, see this pirate cave at the end and sit up there and just kind of look at the ocean, and it was great. No, the next day we went to an actual Muay Thai fight, which was insane. Like, we went to an actual like stadium event where there was like four or five fights, and they were all equally brutal. Like, there was a knockout, there was a fucking bloody battle where the guy fought back, and the guy who he thought he was gonna win, like, he couldn't even walk after. Like, it's a brutal, violent sport. Like, it's just completely like back to the, you know, Greek and Roman mythology days of just warriors leaving it all on the battlefield. As a man, you kind of like, I want to do that at least once in my life. I want to put it all out in the line and, you know, strike and have a chance to achieve glory, right? I think that idea of glory is missing from society these days. And one of the last few places you can really get it is in the ring, right? Fighting for your life. And we saw that. It was crazy. Coming back, we stopped at a McDonald's and we met a lady from London there. And she was pretty funny. It was, you know, when you meet people at 1 o'clock in the morning at McDonald's, you never know what's going to happen. So, you know, she was like, she joined our table and started talking to us. And she was a character. Mitch and I had already talked about like maybe kind of splitting ways midway through the trip. Because when you're traveling, it's good to travel with somebody, especially when you first get there, because, you know, you got to get adjusted to that traveling lifestyle. But, you know, you see somebody every day and then you have different interests and you might want to do different things. And it's totally normal to want to do your own thing. So I think by this point in the trip, Mitch and I were discussing maybe doing different trips or going down different paths. And, you know, Mitch was open to that idea. So yeah, that's exactly what we did. We planned for a different trip after that. And he went to Krabi and I had planned to go to Phuket. I tried to go to Koh Tao first. And Koh Tao was interesting because it's that small, tiny island north of Koh Phangan. And it's really exotic and it's really sought after. So it was really hard to get reservations. And I tried to book it the day before, which was ill-fated on my part because that is such a cool, exclusive, tiny island that they only have X amount of hotels and X amount of places to stay. I ended up finding a place, but the guy was going to hose me for like 5,000 baht, like insane amount of money, like $200 for one night. And I'm like, you know what? That's not worth it. It could be a cool island, but a beach is a beach. So after I couldn't find a place for like 2 hours, after 2 hours of searching, I decided to bail and go to Phuket. And Mike was like dead set on going to Koh Tao for a variety of reasons. And I said, bro, go do your thing. I'll see you when I see you, right? So I think he was going to go to Koh Tao for like, you know, maybe a week. I was going to go to Phuket and then make my way south. And Mitch was going to Krabi. So we all kind of split our separate ways. I went to Phuket. I was a day ahead. I don't think Mike was able to find accommodations the same as me. So he changed his plans and then he came to Phuket, but he was a day behind me. By the time I got to Phuket, I was going to stay at the Mad Monkey, which was like the Bangkok style because I wanted to really party again. I didn't really party in Koh Samui, right? I partied at the full moon party, but I didn't really party in Koh Samui beyond that. I was just kind of like in Muay Thai mode. Oh yeah, let me backtrack here. Before we left, the second last night we were in Koh Samui, I trained one more time in one of those group classes for Muay Thai. And by this point, I was feeling pretty confident, right? Because I'd done the private class, I'd done the group class, I'd watched a Muay Thai fight. So I'm like, okay, now I'm ready to kind of really turn it up a notch. Because the first time I went and sparred, I told people I was like kind of a novice. I didn't know what I was doing. You know, let's just take it easy, light spar. This time I was like more energetic, more focused, and I was in pretty good shape too. Like, this is after a month of walking around and eating really healthy food. So I had really good energy, and being in the sunshine boosts your mood. I don't know what it is, but anyways, I go into this group class and I start hitting these guys hard, right? Like, I'm starting to like hit harder, strike harder. Oh, I've had a million massages. So like my legs and my muscles are loosened up. fast forward, and in the middle of these classes, sometimes you can hear people off to the side training on their solo classes, and I hear some guy going, "Hi, hi, hi," like some Bruce Lee, like crazy fucking war cry shit. And I look over there, I'm like, that guy looks familiar, because up to this point, Mike had been showing me Muay Thai videos, and one of the guys we'd be focusing on was this guy named John Hegarty, who was like the champion at the time. And I'm like looking over, and I'm like, there's no way that could be him. And I look over again, and he's still being like a freaking beast. And I walk closer, and there's people like huddled around him. I'm like, that's fucking John Hegarty. Do yourself a favor right now. Pause this podcast, YouTube John Hegarty, and just watch his fights. This guy's an absolute monster. He's 26. He's in his prime. He's like the champion. The only guy he's lost to is Rod Tang, who's universally recognized as probably like the best Muay Thai fighter pound for pound in the world right now. But John Hegarty is the bantamweight champion, and I saw him training at the gym we were training at. So I ran up on him. I'm like, bro, I've been watching you on YouTube for the last 2-3 days. You've been living rent-free in my head. Like, it's so nice to meet you, man. And then he's like, yeah, man. He gave me a few advice, a few tips. He's super humble, super cool. And then I got a picture with him. It's on my Instagram. But that guy was dope, man. That guy is so cool. You should watch people train. It's difference between watching like amateurs train and champions train. This guy was hitting the bags like the bags owed him money, right? It was crazy. So much force and speed. That's the one thing with Muay Thai and any sport really is speed kills. He hits the bag. You don't see him hit it. It's just like a blur. This guy is just like a freaking tornado twister in the ring. So I think that's a big difference. Anyways, after meeting him, we went into sparring, and because I just met him, I was like totally fired up. I'm like, I'm gonna beat the fuck out of somebody here. And little did I know that I was about to get my shit rocked, because the one thing that you need to keep in mind and really kind of harness is your anger and your intentions when you're fighting. You gotta keep calm, keep composed. Like, you gotta have like controlled fury and controlled chaos when you fight, but still gotta be controlled. And I didn't control it. Like, when I went to spar people, I kind of like was a little bit more aggressive. And the guys who are more advanced, they pick up on that. And they're like, okay, I'm going to beat this guy up a bit. Before you spar, you tell the guy if you have a mouth guard in. And on one of these guys, before I sparred with them, I told him, I'm like, hey, I have a mouth guard in. Don't hit me in the head. And he's like, okay, no problem. As we go into the fight, like, I'm pretty competitive. And that helps me a lot in sports, and it doesn't matter what it is. But I start getting a few shots in on this guy. And I think he forgot that I didn't have a mouth guard in, and he got in between my gloves and just knocked me on the head so fucking hard. It hit me and I was dazed. I was like, bro, what the hell, man? And I just unloaded on him. Like, I freaking hit him as hard as I could. Not in the head, but like in his body and his abs and his ribs. Like, I unloaded on him for probably 30 seconds and then the fighting was over. We made up after, but I was just like pissed, right? You don't just hit me in the head after you know you're not supposed to. The only downside with Muay Thai was, beside the concussion I got there, was I got some bacteria on my arm and a lesion opened up because of one of these cuts from like maybe a sharp edge of the glove, and that bacteria got into my skin and it caused an abscess which started to spread. So I had to get on it, but over the course of about a week, it was like really bad. I had to get some antibacterial cream and really cover it up, and it became a pain in the ass on the trip. It's all cleared up now. I got like one scar from it on my left arm. That was a downside. So if you ever go to any of these fight camps or any of these things, like, they don't really wash the pads. So as soon as you're done fighting or training, go and wash your arms off. Go and wash your, just go take a shower like within 5 minutes of finishing that class. Don't be walking around, because that's what I did, right? I finished the class and I went to get a smoothie or a sandwich or whatever. I didn't really think about washing my skin off, but you need to do that ASAP. So food for thought. Anyways, fast forward now. I'm leaving for Phuket. I get to Phuket, go to the Mad Monkey, and I start meeting people right away. Like these cool guys. Met two guys from Germany, including this guy named Ayu. He's a really cool dude. He's from Morocco, moved to Germany, knows like six languages. I went out with them two nights in a row, and it was just a party fest, man. It was crazy. The first night we went to Bangal Street in Phuket, and this is Patong, so it's on the west coast of Phuket. Few observations about Phuket. So Phuket's this little tiny island, but it's pretty much Moscow in Asia. That's pretty much what it is. All the menus have a Russian menu to them. If you're in a place where like an airport or something like that, they make announcements first in Russian, then English, and then Thai. You see Russians everywhere. It's one of those places, right? Where like it's such a immigrant population with like vacationers that it just adopts it. Kind of like Canadians in Scottsdale, Arizona, or Americans in Cancun. Vacationers become more of the dominant culture than the actual locals. That's what Russians are in Phuket. So we went to Patong, and it was just party city. It's a cool place, though, because they have a nice beach, and there's, like, parasurfing and paragliding and sea-doing. They have all this stuff. But Patong, Bangal Street was insane. It was the only thing that was close to it was, like, Koh San Road in Bangkok. So it was just a crazy energy, crazy vibe. But I was in party mode. I was like, guys, let's go out and let's rage. You know, let's get the boys. Yeah, let's get more guys and party. That's exactly what we did. So we went to Bangal Street, partied. I was with IU that night. The next night, I met some ladies at the hostel, the Mad Monkey, and I found out one of them was having her birthday. So I asked her, I was like, hey, can I take you off your birthday tonight? It was her and her friend. They're from like Denmark. And they're like, they obliged. So me and IU went out for the beach later that day. And then we went to get a haircut. IU's like, yo, man, I'm going to get some cornrows. So I'm like, hell yeah, let's go get some cornrows. We walked in, we get some cornrows. I get my hair, nice little fade on my haircut. And this is like an hour before we're meeting the girls, the Danish chicks, to go take them out for their birthday. And then we met this chick from Australia getting her haircut at the same salon that we were. So we invite her. And next thing you know, we got like seven or eight people coming out for dinner, this Danish girl's birthday. Just having a blast, right? Having a great time. And go out with them. They go home after, and then we keep going out. IU and I go out, and we're out until like 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning. We meet these other people from our hostel who are partying. There's one guy from, I think he's from England or Italy or something like that. Dude was the life of the party, man. He took us into all the clubs and the bars, and we just stayed out until 2 o'clock in the morning. We went to a few strip clubs, which were crazy, man. The strip clubs in Thailand are insane. Like, I'm talking like, They see you dancing, they'll come off from the pole on the stage and start dancing with you like in the alley. I like people who are very comfortable with their sexuality, but Thailand takes it to a whole nother level. This whole time I'm in Phuket, Mike is at a fight camp in Phuket as well. So we were in the same city and I didn't see him for 2 days. And apparently he had a really good time. He found this trainer and this family who like essentially trains people privately. And he said it was like the best Muay Thai he's ever done. So hit up Mike if you want that that link for the Muay Thai gym in Phuket. But Phuket was a lot. Like, it was fun, but it was like not for more than one night, right? Especially if you're young and you want a party, Phuket's the place. It's just a party, right? And it's exhausting. I can't stay there for more than 2 days because, first of all, it's just like city energy, and then it's like party energy. Yes, you meet cool people, you're partying, and the Mad Monkey sets that all up. But at the same time, it's just like, man, it's exhausting. And you just your body just takes a beating because of all the booze and all that stuff, right? So from Phuket, we head to Koh Lanta. So Koh Lanta is this really cool place. I was doing some research about like where to go in the southern part of Thailand that is more of a beach energy vibe, like more chill, right? I was tired of parties. I was tired of cities. Koh Samui was still kind of a party. Koh Phangan was still a party. Phuket was a party. I didn't want a party anymore. I just wanted a beach and a sunset, right? Is that too much to ask? I don't think so. So we take a ferry from Phuket to Koh Phi Phi and then transfer to Koh Lanta. Koh Phi Phi is this little tiny island, and I'll get to that later. But we just were transferring. We went to Koh Lanta. We spent the first night there. I had a really cool place at the Raven Blue. And then Mike and I went for dinner. And, you know, we were kind of like in the mood to like meet chicks, like let's meet some ladies here, right? And spend some beach days with some ladies. We go to the beach bar, and it's just like kind of older people, like older boomers. And we're like, hey, Mike was like, let's go out tomorrow, rent some bikes, and let's see if we can meet some chicks, right? Like, let's go, not meet some chicks, but let's just go on an adventure and see who we meet. And our plan was to just like roll up on people and just say what's up, driving up and down the coastline of Koh Lanta. And Koh Lanta is a very mountainous island. Like, it's got a lot of like really good viewpoints and stuff. So that's what we did. The next day we get our scooters and we start ripping. We go from one side of the island to the other. We tried to go to the nature reserve. And then on the way back, we pulse the west side of the island, hitting up all the beaches every like 2 or 3 kilometers. And towards the end of this beach pulsing, we land upon the beach really close to my hostel, actually, or my hotel. And what we see is that the water is a little bit itchy, right? So we're like, man, this water's itchy. And I'm a pretty good opener. Like, I can talk to anybody. And I talked to a million chicks by this point already. But this was the beginning of the story when we ended up dating these two chicks for like a week. I'm at the water side. I look at this girl who's like kind of looking out into the ocean. And I'm like, did you notice that? It's a little bit itchy in the water. And she goes, yeah, it's kind of itchy. And then Mike pipes up and he's like waiting in the water, kind of like waiting for his moment to strike. And he walks up and he's like, yeah, it's really itchy, isn't it? And I'm like, okay, Mike's got this handled. I don't like to do the two-on-one thing, you know? One girl, one guy, that's enough. Mike wants to talk to her, go for it. So I leave them, they keep talking, and I go for a nap on the beach. I'm listening to music, I'm just hanging out and watching the crabs, kind of passed out. And then I look up after about a half hour, an hour, Mike is still talking to this chick on the beach line. And then I pull my head up again, like maybe 20 minutes later, and another girl joins Mike and the girl that he's talking to. So I guess this girl knew this other girl, and they're all in the water. I'm like, you know what, I should go join them and see what's going on. And then we're all standing in the water together. We make some introductions, and it turns out these chicks are from Lithuania, and they're just traveling together on vacation, like Mike and I. Mike was hitting it off with Cornelia, the girl I initially talked to, and I wasn't talking to Sanyeta, the other girl, yet, but I was interested. I was like, these girls are cool, right? You know, we're just joking about 7-Elevens and who owns that yacht down the coastline and all that other stuff. And we were free that night, and Mike and I wanted to do mushrooms, so we're just looking for someone to party with, really. We didn't really think about it too much beyond that. Mike and Cornelia exchanged contact, and we left them. We go for dinner, and Mike's trying to line up something with the girls, and they agree to meet us later. So we're like, awesome, we got something lined up for later. We have dinner, and then we take the mushrooms, and we go to meet them at this like really cool beach bar. And it was like Thursday night, so I guess it was like the party night. And it was like the coolest location, man. It was like a little club area with like a beach bar and attached to a nice beach. And Mike and I are coming up on the shrooms, and the shrooms are strong. So the thing with shrooms in Thailand is, it's not officially illegal yet, but you can, if you go to any cannabis store in Thailand and ask for shrooms, like it's 50% chance they're gonna be able to sell it to you. So we got some golden teachers, and we each ate about a stem. And we were just cruising, but it was like grabbing us pretty hard because I was trying to flirt with Sanyeta. Like by this point, we had established that I'm going to focus on Sanyeta and Mike is talking to Cornelia. So Sanyeta and I are flirting and talking, and you know, things are going great. And she's just a super, super sweet chick. And I still talk to her. Sanya, if you listen to this, it was amazing getting to know you. Like, you're a wonderful girl. So anyways, we're flirting that night, and she's asking about how the mushrooms are going because she's curious about it. She'd never really tried it. And I'm giving the analogy about like, hey, listen, we just took off from the airport about 20 minutes ago, and we are reaching cruising altitude, and this plane is not going to land itself. So I need you to take this plane ride with me. Night goes on and evolves, and you know, we're kind of getting closer. Mike's getting closer with Cornelia. I'm getting closer with Sanyeta. We're just getting to know each other. And then we start dancing, and then we go to the beach. Once we go to the beach, Sanyeta leaves to get something, comes back, and you know, by this point we're kind of on the come down with the mushrooms, but looking at the stars while you're tripping, oh my God, I've never done anything like that in my entire life. Being on the beach, looking at the stars with a beautiful woman next to me, I just couldn't believe like how fortunate and lucky I am in life to have these kind of experiences. You know, Sanyeta and I, we start kissing, right, on the beach, and Mike and Cornelia start kissing. Next thing you know, Cornelia and Mike are gone on some adventuring, and Sanyeta and I are there by ourselves. And we decide to take their stuff and keep them safe at our place. And that's exactly what we did. It kind of freaked me out though, because I had Mike's phone. I had everything but Mike's keys. I had his phone, I had his shoes. And then I get back to my place and I'm like, Mike knows where my place is, Sanyeta. Don't worry, like they'll find us. And then I get a call from him. And I was freaking out. I thought it was like a black ops operation, or maybe it was like the feds or something, or an alien. But it was him, and it was his voice. But because I had his phone, I'm like, how the hell is he calling me? And like, how the hell does he know what my number is? Turns out it was Mike's backup phone, but it scared the shit out of me in the morning. Maybe I was just up too late, or it was the shrooms, but I was tripping balls. I was like, Sanyeta, we need to lock the doors. It's time to barricade, you know, bearing the hatches and embrace for impact, because we're coming in, they're coming in hot. And that kicked off like a week-long relationship with these ladies, where we essentially just double-dated them for a week straight. We had a lot of really awesome experiences together. We went for breakfast the next day, scootered around, went and played cards, went for dinner. I watched movies with Sanyeta, got to know her a little bit. And then, unfortunately, what happened was we were leaving the day after we played cards with them, because I'd already booked tickets to Ko Phi Phi, which was the little island on the way over to Koh Lanta. And I didn't want to leave, but it was also like kind of like I didn't want to blow the money because I'd already paid money for a hotel and the travel and all that stuff. I didn't know we were going to meet the most amazing women on this whole trip. So that's the thing with traveling is like sometimes you book it a day in advance. Sometimes you book it 4 or 5 days in advance. And I'd booked the Koh Phi Phi part like 4 or 5 days in advance. So the next day they drop us off at the terminal. And wouldn't be the last time we'd see them, but it was a little bit like dramatic, like leaving them, like because it was like such an awesome experience. But you know, Mike and I, we head to Koh Phi Phi. Koh Phi Phi was cool. Koh Phi Phi is this really cool island exotic adventure. It's a party, but it's a novelty because it's like it feels like you're in the Pirates of the Caribbean, like you know those movies with Jack Sparrow and pirates and stuff like that, and they're rolling up on Tortuga. And they see a bunch of pirates there or like a free port. It's kind of like that vibe. You're rolling up and it's like an island paradise. So there's two like mountains. They're connected by this beach, this skinny plot of land that's just like sand. And there's just like little European setup with like these narrow canals of like streets and restaurants and beachfront. And it's a fun, cool place. So the first night we're in Koh Phi Phi, Mike and I were like, hey, listen, like, let's just go explore, get around, see what's going on. We decided to go to this viewpoint where we can see the whole of the island. And on the way to the viewpoint, Mike's like, hey, you've ever heard of Creighton? And I'm like, what? And he's like, Creighton. It's on Joe Rogan's podcast. And at this point, I'm having such a great time. We just met the girls. I'm like still thinking about Senyeta. I'm having a great time. I'm having a great trip, right? So I'm like, I'm going to say yes to anything. Right? Mike's like, okay, I'm going to get some. We find this Thai guy on the street, this surfer looking dude. And he's like, hey man, like, what are you guys looking for? They knew we were looking for something, right? We had that look in our eyes. And Mike's like, yeah, do you have any Kratom? And the guy's like, Kratom. Oh, Kratom. He's like, I'll be right back. Give me 20 minutes. Like maybe 30 minutes later, he comes back with two bottles. It looked like chew spit in a big freaking 2-liter jug. And I'm like, okay, cool. I do a quick Google search because I'm starting to get nervous about like what Kratom is. It's like, think of it like a sedative meets a painkiller in the form of a local leaf that's grown in Thailand. So it's like a Kratom plant. It's a plant that they refine into a powder or some kind of tea and they brew it. And then they add codeine, Coca-Cola, and something else. And it's just supposed to get you super, it's supposed to buzz you out and like make you really chill. Like essentially make you pass out and calm you down and have a wave of relaxation over you. Anyways, Mike gets it and like we're like, hey, here's a great idea. Let's take this unknown drug that we've never tried before and we've done minimal research on and then walk up a mountain and watch the sunset. So it sounded great to us. Mike started drinking it on the way up. I didn't really start drinking it until we got close to the mountaintop. There's these big boulders that overlook the whole valley and the whole like bay. So we start drinking it up there and then we start talking to these chicks from Chile. You know, we're just talking to them and they're asking what we're drinking and all this stuff. They end up leaving and then we're just drinking and hanging out. But as we were talking to the Chilean chicks, it hit me all of a sudden because I drank in like a liter of it. And we did some research after, you're only supposed to drink like a cup of it, maybe like 400 mils. We drank like a liter and a half of Kratom. I couldn't move. It was almost like gravity pulled me into this rock. I could not move off of it. It was the scariest thing I've ever experienced. I was like, what is going on here? Mike was like, are you okay? I'm like, no, I am not okay. I am high as a fucking Georgia pine and we're on the top of a mountain, bro. So this mountain is like, maybe it's a 25 minute hike. Coming down, it took us, not even joking you, an hour and a half. And I was sweating, I was uncomfortable, I was tired, and I was drugged. So note to self, don't take experimental drugs and then go hike up a mountainside. But Mike and I connected, we had a really, we were already really good friends, best friends, and it just brought us even closer together, you know? It was hard walking down. It took us a while. And then Mike's like, let's go out and let's go for dinner and stuff. And he's like, just drink an energy drink, you'll be fine. I had two coffees and a Red Bull, and then I tried to go for dinner, and I felt sick. I was like, dude, I'm not going to make it. So I went to bed at like 8:30, and I didn't wake up until like 9 a.m. or 10 a.m. Next day, I decided to go on one of these boat tours. And this is the first boat tour I took on the whole trip. It is the best boat tour I've ever taken in my entire life. I took two more boat tours on the rest of the vacation, or the travels, and it was nothing compared to the one in Koh Phi Phi. The Koh Phi Phi boat tours, in my opinion, were the funnest ones because the islands are so exotic. Like, they have all these cool, like, islands that jut out at Admanian Sea, including the beach from the movie The Beach with Leonardo DiCaprio. That was pretty sweet, right? Every stop, you're looking at, like, a monkey, or you're looking at some cool bay, or you're looking at snorkeling. I saw a reef shark, probably, like, a meter-long reef shark, like, maybe 8 feet underneath me. I've never seen a shark in my life. That was a pretty cool moment. And then also seeing these krill at, like, 6 o'clock at night, 7 o'clock at night, swish around in the darkness. That was pretty crazy. That was pretty cool. Went to get dinner with IU and some chicks that we met from the boat. And I saw Mitch on the way over there. And my t-shirt, it was so funny. I went out and I wanted to look good because they're like, we're going for dinner and stuff. And my t-shirt was like really shambled. It was like ripped and everything. And Mitch, does this shirt look good? He's like, who are you meeting? And I was like, oh, I'm meeting some people and you know, some girls and stuff. And he goes, well, you know, I wouldn't wear that shirt. So on the way over to the dinner, I just bought a shirt on the street for like 10 bucks. That's the beautiful thing about Thailand. You can buy shirts for cheap. Buy a shirt on the way, throw my old shirt out in the garbage, go for dinner. And it was a pretty low-key night after that. I didn't really do much because the next day we're going to be leaving for Krabi because we had lined it up where we're going to go meet with the ladies again. So I was missing Sunyeta a lot. I wanted to see her. And didn't have any plans after Koh Phi Phi, and I was supposed to stay an extra night, but I forgoed the extra night at this beautiful place I was staying at, by the way. Like, this ocean view was sick, like overlooking the whole bay of Koh Phi Phi. I had to walk like up a mountain crest to get there, but totally worth it. I woke up and asked Mitch if he wanted to grab breakfast because I didn't know if I was going to see him again for the rest of the trip because he was planning to go up north and I was looking to go south. I met with Mitch for breakfast, so I missed the morning ferry. And caught up with him a bit, seeing how his adventures had been. Talked a lot. He talked about how Krabi was and how cool it was and Raleigh Beach and all that stuff. So I was like, shit, I'm going to go to Raleigh Beach right now. And he was planning to go north to Chiang Mai and Pai. Met Mitch for breakfast. After breakfast, parted ways, got the ferry to Krabi, which took 2 or 3 hours. And then I had to take a transfer to Raleigh Beach. Raleigh Beach is this exclusive beach that you can only access by boat. But it's freaking sick. Like, it's beautiful. Beautiful rock cliffs, clean beach, really beautiful sunsets. It's unreal. And Krabi was probably one of my favorite parts about Thailand besides Koh Lanta because it's got a little bit more a little bit more things to do than Koh Lanta. It's not as quiet, but it's got some more things to do, but it's still got that kind of like laid back feel depending on where you go. And beautiful mountains, jungle, kind of feels like you're in Pandora from Avatar. It's just amazing coastline with these crazy rock faces and amazing developments in geography. So we go back, finally reconnect with Sunyeta. Mike had left earlier that day, so he was already with them on the beach. And it was great to see Sunyeta again and just embraced her. And I wanted to just really spend really good quality time with them and Sunyeta specifically. So we had booked for 3 nights in Ang Nong. And I'm probably saying that wrong, but whatever. Which is the main town in Krabi. Ao Nang. Sorry, I've been saying it wrong this whole time. The Ao Nang Night Landmark Market. That's what it's called. And, you know, Sunyeta and I at this point are just like, you know, fully in love. You know, she'll laugh when she hears this. But, we're not in love. But, you know what I mean? We're just enjoying each other's company, getting along really well. We go up to this market. Mike's with Cornelia. I'm getting some food with Sunyeta. And as we're eating, whatever we get. And this is a really cool outdoor market, by the way. Like a million stalls selling different kinds of food. So we try some Japanese food and stuff like that and get a shake. We're sitting down at the table in this like open market where there's some music playing. And I just get this tap on my shoulder. I'm like, who the fuck? I look around and it's my old buddy, Matt Chipchira from high school. So you have to put this into perspective. I'm 32. It's 2024. I graduated in 2009. I haven't seen this guy since 2009 when I graduated. What is that? 15 years? I haven't seen, like when we finished high school, he went straight to Asia and we hadn't seen him since. So imagine not seeing somebody for 15 years and they tap you on the shoulder at a night market in another country across the other side of the world. Like, what are the chances that you run into a buddy like that? We could not believe it. I think I did drop my shake and I was just blown away. I was like, Matt, what the hell? Like, Chippy, man, you're here, man. So I was just like, we need to ambush Mike because Mike was not with me at the time. He was sitting with Cornelia watching the show. I said, Matt, we need to go swarm Mike from behind and you need to surprise him. And he did, and Mike couldn't believe it. Like, we all couldn't believe it. And we sent Mitch in a group chat, and he couldn't believe it either. Like, what are the chances our one buddy from high school who went to Asia, and think about how big Asia is and how many countries, and all the cities and all the markets and all the places, he sees the back of my head. So what a freaking awesome surprise that was. I catch up with Matt, head home. We take the long way home and scooter ride, and, you know, we're just holding, Sonietta's holding me on the highway, and we get back. The next day we had planned to go kayaking. So we figure out where the kayak place is. And on the way to the kayak place, we find this jungle restaurant. It's really cool. It felt like one of those places you see on Instagram all the time where it's like this super exotic like hotel restaurant. It was in the middle of the jungle. They built like tree houses and these elaborate setups with these Japanese style sitting arrangements. And we had some really good shakes there, man. Good shakes, good food, good everything. And we head over to the kayak. We get kayak and we start going down this exotic river. There's nobody on it except for us. So Mike and Cornelia are ahead of us. And I just got to know Sonietta really well, right? Just like kind of like, what's your goals in life? What are you thinking about this and that? It was cool. You know, it's a great date idea. So we're heading down this river and we start seeing crabs everywhere. This sand dune. I have this brilliant comment where I'm like, maybe it's called crabby because of all the crabs. Not bad, eh? And then keep going down and we find Mike and Cornelia going to this like, I don't know, this stretch of like Amazon River kind of basin where they see all these animals and stuff like that. And Sonietta and I keep going down and we find this little creek and then we find all these monkeys. And these monkeys are on the side of the river. They're sticking their hands deep into the sand to get crabs. And then sometimes they'll swim. Like, I never seen a monkey swim before, but I saw some trying to traverse this river. Oh yeah, on the way back from kayaking, we went to the toilet viewpoint, which is just this really cool lookout where they have one of the coolest restaurants you'll ever see tucked away on a mountainside where there's bats flying around. You have a view of the whole bay with all these like islands jutting out. And we had shakes, we had dinner. They had this famous toilet in the men's room where the window opens up to the bay. It's like the most beautiful toilet. Even the toilets in Japan don't compare to this one. Even though this one doesn't wash your butthole out, like, it's going to do some magical things. Like, you're going to see this view and not going to want to leave, right? It's the most beautiful toilet with the most beautiful view I've ever seen in my life. So we go and do that. By this point, Sonietta only had like a day, maybe 2 days left in Thailand, and then she had to go back to Lithuania. And I liked her. I wanted to spend more time with her. And I was thinking of maybe leaving Thailand too. Like, by this point, I'd been in Thailand for 3.5-4 weeks. So I was kind of getting the itch to move on as well. And I was like, Sonietta, like, what do you think about me maybe spending the last few days with you in the country and us leaving together? And it took her some time to think about it. But then she finally came around and was like, yeah, Keen, let's do it. So we made a plan to leave Krabi together. The last night we were in Krabi, we just hung out by the pool and just threw each other around in the pool, played some Mongolian throat music and some country music. And I showed Sonietta one of my songs. She showed me her song. And, you know, the song that I sang to Sonietta all the time was a little bit of Alberta. So if you don't like country music, feel free to fast forward about 30 seconds. But, ooh, baby, I'm gonna love you forever. Forever and ever, amen. As long as old men sit and talk about the weather. As long as old women sit and talk about old men. If you wonder how long I'll be faithful, I'll be happy to tell you again. I'm gonna love you forever and ever. Forever and ever, amen. So anyways, I'd sing that to her all the time whenever I could and whenever I had a chance, because that's how I felt about her, you know? That's a crazy thing about romance and dating and love, is sometimes it doesn't have to take 2-3 months. And when you're in an environment where you're seeing where you're in this tropical paradise together and you're on vacation, I think it can expedite those feelings, and it certainly did for us. We agree to leave Krabi. We go to Phuket. Phuket is where her flight was out of, so I was looking for flights to Singapore because that's where my next destination was. And I was able to find some flights to Singapore. And the crazy thing was, and this is how I know it was meant to be for this trip, was my flight to Singapore from Phuket was, my gate was right next to Sunyeta's, and my flight was 20 minutes before hers. So we literally got to sit between our gates and hang out together as we were waiting for our flights to leave. And we went to the airport together. We did everything together. Now you're telling me that's a coincidence? That can't be a coincidence. That's the universe lining things up perfectly for like a Netflix rom-com, right? What are the chances that our gates are right next to each other as we're leaving? So that was really hard. It was emotional for both of us because, like, you know, we got to know each other and we didn't want to leave each other, right? But, you know, the reality is you have to get back to your regular life and life goes on. But that was our moment. So, right, we spent the last night together in Phuket and then we left the country. So, and that was a symbolic way for me to leave Thailand too. As far as like the fun part of the trip, like that was, that Thailand was the highlight for me. And Thailand was just this unique place where it's just like lawless, but not lawless, fun, a party, but not a party, exotic and not exotic. Like it has everything, right? Cheap food, really tasty food, and everything in between, right? Adventures, exploration, great weather, events, expeditions. I'm not sure what else you could want. Muay Thai. And I know this was a longer episode, but I wanted to cover all the islands, right? Koh Samui, Koh Phangan, Phuket, Koh Lanta, Koh Phi Phi. It was just a beautiful place. And there's even more islands than that. But without being too dramatic, I bid her adieu, gave her a kiss, and I said, I'll see you when I see you. And that was it. So off I was to Singapore. Until next time, I'll catch you on the islands, baby. Peace.